With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast, coming to you live from the Indianapolis International Airport. I'm Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Ryan Bonaparte, who's in a room in Illinois.
There you go. There you go. Coming to you as I travel back home from being in Lafayette and West Lafayette all weekend. Flight is currently delayed, so figured we had time to hop on the podcast. Ryan, it was a great weekend for Purdue Sports, 4-0. The men's basketball team won, women's basketball team won, volleyball team won, and the football team won. So can't ask for much more than that.
No, absolutely not. And I hear there was a good show on Thursday night as well.
There was. You and I were both in attendance at the Neon Cactus for one of Bruce Barker's last shows, and I had a lot of fun. I did not leave that place until he ended his show at like 1:30, and I ultimately left there at like 1:59. And then because I'm a trooper, even though I was driving, I listened to my friends and we drove them to Harry's so we could spend the last hour of the evening at Harry's. So we shut the place down and then went to Freddy's, Fat Freddy's afterwards. So we did the whole Thursday college experience.
There you go. Perfect.
So you can tell by my voice, I was at the piano bar on Thursday, scream singing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then Breakfast Club?
Yes. Yeah. So went to Breakfast Club, got two brothers at like 7:05. We were the first people there because apparently you young kids now go to the Neon Cactus to start out Breakfast Club. So we were the only ones there for a little while. But, you know, it was the three of us and two more friends came and then two more. So we ultimately had seven people, but had a lot of fun, stayed there, had some lunch at the Tap, which is across from Chauncey Hill, which was very good. And then made it to the game in time, no troubles, and saw Purdue walk away with a victory. It was just a perfect weekend. We did, of course, go to the game on Friday as well versus Morehead State. But overall, I mean, you couldn't have scripted it better for us going back home. This was my buddy's first time back to campus since 2010, since we graduated. So perfect for him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, just – and not even, like, close victories. These were all pretty lopsided in Purdue's favor.
Yeah, very perfect. So, well, we'll take a look at basketball first, and then we'll do football after the break. So, Purdue beats Morehead State 87-57. Purdue now sits at 2-0. First half was a lot closer than the second half. Purdue just, they started out great. I think it was, 13-0 to start the game, and then couldn't really find a second gear to kind of put Morehead State away in that first half. But still, you know, a lot of good things seen from this team. Granted, it was against a lesser opponent in Morehead State. One of the best things, free throw shooting. Purdue was absolutely great shooting the free throws in that first half especially, but overall 19 to 24. And that, you know, when you got a guy like Zach Edey who goes to the free throw line 9-10-plus times a game, that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was not the most prolific three-point shooting night for Purdue. We knew that number was going to come down, but still, they shot almost 35% from beyond the arc. That will win you 90% of your games, especially if you've got a guy like Zach Edey who can put up 18 points on 8 shots.
You're right.
You're in good position. The one person who really excelled from the 3-point line in this game was Mason Gillis. Well, I guess, and Miles Colvin. They both went 2-for-2, so they looked pretty sharp coming off the bench. And then you had Lance Jones who hit 50% of his 3-pointers. So that's encouraging to see for a guy that. It looks like he wants to take on a bigger role than what we might have anticipated, and I'm all for it. He looks athletic. The defensive scrappiness looks fantastic, and if he plays a major role on this team, so be it. He looks the part.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he takes a major role, I think it'll only be good for Purdue. You mentioned his three for six from three, including one right in front of Matt Painter, about 3 feet behind the line, maybe four, where it was one of those, that's a terrible shot, that's a terrible shot. Okay, it went in, never do that again. Like, it doesn't mean it was a good shot just because it went in, but you're happy with the results, but I'm sure Painter was not thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely. His hands went to his hips, and there was a timeout soon after, and he kind of got the finger wag about that. And I kind of was saying the same thing from where I was sitting, don't take that shot, but you know what? Kudos to him. He made it. So
right.
Flashes of Carson Edwards on that couple shots there.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes you need a guy like that who's not afraid to just pull the trigger and give you a heat check. A dynamic guy who maybe Purdue has been missing since Carson Edwards left. I mean, I know we had Jaden Ivey, but didn't quite have the tournament success while he was here. But, you know, we'll see. Right. I mean, maybe Lance Jones can be that guy come tournament time. Who will give you the ball and just kind of push you out of the way.
Absolutely. And then we haven't really even touched on this point. Braden Smith was 2 rebounds away from a triple-double.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if Matt was going to let him stay in the game a little bit longer to try and get a couple of those rebounds, but finished with 11 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds. Just an absolute incredible game, and 3 steals. Like,
yeah.
Braden Smith had a fantastic, even though his shooting numbers weren't the best. He only shot 1 of 4 from deep and 4 of 10 overall. But anytime you make that sort of impact on the team across the board, good things have happened.
Yeah, yeah. And my buddy Thomas, who I was sitting with at the game, we kind of looked at each other when he had about 6 rebounds, and we're like, there's a lot of time left. He could get a triple-double, and then he got one more, and then he got one more, and then you're just like, I don't know that there's enough time. But, you know, if it was me, I would have been fighting to stay in the game, but Painter ultimately pulled him, probably for the best. You know, you don't want to risk injury just to kind of try to get a triple-double. And by that point, Purdue had gone up by over 20 points, ultimately, you know, end up winning by 30. So it was the right decision, but it certainly would have been fun for Braden Smith to see those numbers ultimately reach a triple-double.
Absolutely. Yep. I think he got a few extra minutes to get to that 8th rebound.
Yeah, I think he did.
But, you know what, it was the correct choice on Matt Painter's part, and it was nice to see. I mean, it was something to keep track of, too.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in a game like this against Morehead State, who, you know, frankly is not very good, that is the kind of thing you want to see guys maybe take a shot they wouldn't take, or stretch their legs a little bit. And you can see Braden Smith was obviously very aggressive on D with those three steals. So I was very happy with the second half. Purdue really improved. And you can really see what this team could be once they get it all put together and once they gel completely. Because when you add a guy like Lance Jones, who's never been on the team, he comes in and takes a starting role, it can be difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So my really only question is there any sort of concern about any of these guys? And my mind kind of jumps to two guys in Caleb First and Fletcher Lawyer. It just, the production hasn't quite been there quite yet, but
yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're not putting in quality minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lawyer played 27 minutes, missed his only two shots. They were both from three, made two free throws, and grabbed three rebounds, but not a terribly productive day for him. Same thing with a similar thing with First. I mean, 11 minutes, he had 5 points, 0 for 3 from deep. And it is so unfortunate because he played such a big role last year, but you wonder if the minute shuffle is just going to cause him to not be able to find a groove as he has in the past.
Yeah. Although that being said, I do know, or I do assume that some of those minutes that, you know, say Chase Martin, Carson Barrett, and even Will Berg got are kind of going to go back into Zach Edey and Caleb First there at the five.
Yeah, that's probably true also. And I mean, Brian Waddell got 7 minutes in this game, and I don't anticipate him having, you know, unless he does take a step forward, which we heard about in the offseason but haven't really seen so far in these two games. I think those 7 minutes will probably, you know, be removed from him and they'll be distributed to others. And maybe Caleb First will be the beneficiary of that. I'm not sure, but I don't think we have anything to worry about yet, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yep, absolutely. I have not really anything else on this game. It was still a fun atmosphere. I was actually not in the media section. I was in general admission, so it was nice getting to be part of the paint crew for the night.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. It's a lot of fun just to be there in person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So other than that, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk about Purdue's victory over the Golden Gophers.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we are back. So as promised, Purdue heads home to the friendly confines of Ross-Ade Stadium, walks away with a 49-30 victory, which I don't think anyone saw coming. Not only the victory, but Purdue putting up 49 points. I mean, did not expect this, did not see this coming in any way. I mean, Ryan, you and I both picked Minnesota to win. Purdue now sits at 3-7, Minnesota at 5-5. I mean, Purdue did everything on offense in this game, and it just makes you wonder, you know, what has gone on in these previous games to have everything go so wrong, because, you know, Card had 251 yards, three touchdowns. Purdue had two guys rush for over 100 yards. Mockabee was 153 and Tracy with 122. So, I mean, everything was humming on offense. You just wonder what the difference was.
Yeah, it felt like the rushing game unlocked the passing game in this one. And it was turnover free. That's probably one of the big factors. Turnover free football, and Hutchin Card was throwing to several different receivers. I mean, you had five different receivers with multiple receptions. And then I know Tyrone Tracy had a 52-yard reception. That's kind of outside the norm. But, like, if the Purdue's offense can do this, if they had done this throughout the entire year, Purdue is probably over 500.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly not 3-7.
Yeah, hindsight is always 20/20, right? So I think that I would like to think that this is not the blip on the screen where Graham Harrell's offense got hot against one team and then everything else is the norm. I want to see this sort of progression in the offense, and I think that's a nice start. 49 points, 7 touchdowns is just incredible for this team, and we've said it all year long. They don't have the talent pool necessarily to consistently do this, but if this is the flash in the pan that shows where this program can go, I am very excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun to see things click. And you can really see, like I said, everything was working on offense. And I thought one of the guys who had a really great game, just as from a receiving standpoint, I thought was Sawinski. I mean, he had only 3 receptions, but they were big receptions. He was sure-handed. And he's not the fastest guy out there, but you don't always have to be. If you can be a possession receiver and be somebody that a guy like Hutchin Card can trust on a third down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know Sawinski has not had too many opportunities this year, but he's making the most of when he can touch the ball, and that's always important. And I think when it comes to the offense, what I saw that stood out in this game was Hutchin Card's ability to run, almost like called run plays for Hutchin Card. And it was very encouraging to see, especially there was a lot of third down runs he had where he was able to hurt Minnesota with his legs. We haven't seen that in too much this year. We've said at the beginning of the year that we wanted to see him take off and run instead of throwing the ball incomplete. So even if it's a called play for him, that's encouraging to see. And I like that Purdue had 3 rushers who average more yards a run. Like, at the beginning of the year, that did not seem possible.
No,
ran all over Minnesota. 350 rushing yards on 44 attempts? That's incredible.
Yeah, and in addition to Card, you know, tucking the ball and running when he had to or else having some designed runs, I mean, the offensive line allowed only 1 sack the entire game, and that is not something that you would have expected going into this game, the way the offensive line has struggled. So, I mean, I'm loath to say that they figured something out after just one game, but I think there was definite improvement. And if you can build upon that and go, you know, into next week against Northwestern, it's what we've wanted to see all year long. You know, Northwestern is looking a lot better than they did earlier in the year. So it's going to be a tougher game than I think most of us thought, but, you know, Minnesota's no pushover either. I mean, they've got talent out there. They certainly did a good job running the ball, had 115 yards rushing, but they came out and scored on that first drive, and, man, Purdue did not put up much resistance at all. And that was, I will admit, I felt a big sense of deja vu coming, as I thought we were going to look toward another game where the Purdue defense just couldn't do anything. But, you know, they didn't exactly stop them. I mean, they allowed 30 points, so that is not great. But, you know, one of those touchdowns was at the end of the second quarter when Purdue's offense just couldn't get a first down to end the quarter, and gave the ball back to Minnesota. And then another touchdown for Minnesota was in garbage time in the fourth quarter. So you can live with that last touchdown because the game was already over. But you would really love to clean things up at the end of the second quarter there, because it really did keep things a lot closer. You know, going into halftime, 28-20 instead of 28-13 makes a whole lot difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of to build on that, so Minnesota scored the first and last touchdown. So in between, Purdue was on a 49-16 run. So I think this was a little bit more lopsided than the score might suggest at times. But even still, you're correct that the defense did allow a 30-piece. It's interesting to see, just because the fact that everything got flipped on its head in this game. We did not expect this offense to be able to do what they did against Purdue, and we did not expect the Purdue offense to really just take off like it did. I guess if that's what it takes for Purdue to win, okay. But
yeah,
it's certainly not the identity they've built all year.
No. I mean, look, Iowa wins games 10-7, 12-6, you know, whatever they got to do to win. If Purdue has to win 49-48, 49-45, you know, whatever, as long as we have more points than the opponent, I don't really care. But it's interesting you're talking about, you know, the yards that Minnesota racked up. I'm looking at the box score, and I guess I didn't realize that Minnesota had 292 yards passing. I mean, the quarterback was only – he threw 42 passes, so he's only 18 of 42. So it's not like he had a prolific day. But 292 yards is a lot to give up. I mean, that's more than Hudson Card had with his 251. So maybe it was just the fact that we forced them to pass it 42 times to get that number. But I didn't feel as bad about the secondary as I did but, you know, looking in recent games, but looking back, that sure is a lot of yards.
Right. And a lot of that just came down to Daniel Jackson. I mean, 7 receptions for 119 yards. They did not do what I had suggested in the pregame and to bracket that one guy. But,
right,
you know what, if he didn't score a touchdown, so he may have gotten yards, but he did not beat you. And you know what, whatever it takes to win at that point.
Yeah. So a couple things that you notice when you're actually at the game, that you don't see on TV, I had not noticed, and maybe this has gone on for a long time and I just didn't know, Purdue comes out of the tunnel, carrying a Chucky doll, like the doll from Child's Play. I have no idea what that's about. I don't know the reference, like, if there's something that the team talks about in reference to the Chucky or Child's Play or something, but it was very strange to see him, Purdue, running out of the tunnel carrying a Chucky doll.
I have not noticed that. So
okay.
Might be new.
Yeah. Maybe it was the first time they've ever done it. I don't know. I've not seen it, but if that was strange.
Might not be the last.
Yeah, I guess. And I want to say this before I forget, I was very, very impressed with the Purdue crowd, you know, showing up like they did. I mean, it looked absolutely full once everybody settled in. For a 2-7 team is, I think, a great job for all involved in the Purdue athletic department. You know, the ticket sales, the marketing folks, whoever it may be. But it really shows you that these fans are hungry for victory. You know, they really liked what they saw under Brohm with the offense and putting up a bunch of points and winning, you know, more than they lost. So I'm excited to see if this program can continue to build, because the fan support actually is there based on that game. I mean, for Purdue to be 2-7 and to have that stadium fill up was really, really something to see.
Absolutely. I think it's been like that all season long. I don't think you can really stress enough how important it is to have fans engage in these teams. I mean, you see what Mackey does, and Mackey is known to be one of the best venues in college basketball. It's free advertisement when you're on. You get put in better games, better media slots, And of course, this has to do with the product on the quarter field, but it starts with the fans. If the fans are engaged, it really forces the hand of the athletics department to put a quality product out there,
yeah,
so that everyone is happy. And ultimately, it's to make more money for the athletic department. But if they're making money and the product is good, I think the fans will be happy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, I was just very, very impressed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the only other thing that I kind of want to mention is the Nick Scordon and Kydren Jenkins duo are just absolutely incredible this year. And
they've
I think they deserve every shout out. Yeah. It's just incredible. I think I think they're still top two in the Big Ten in sacks.
I believe so, yeah.
I don't think we expected that whatsoever coming into this season.
No, and I mean, when's the last time Purdue had two of the top, even if they're two and three right now, I mean, when's the last time Purdue had the two top sack getters in the Big Ten? I can't remember that ever happening. But I'd certainly have to go back and look. And, you know, speaking of guys on the defense who need a shout-out, I mean, Dylan Thieneman continues to play well above his class. I mean, you know, being out there as a true freshman, nine tackles in this one, led the team in tackles again. He has just really impressed the hell out of me this entire season. And just like Jenkins and Scorton deserves kind of all the praise and all the shout-outs we can give him.
Absolutely. Also, how about our kicking in this game? I mean, Ben Friedel didn't attempt a field goal, but 7-for-7 from the extra point, that is, you can't stress enough how important that is to an offense.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the other kicking, of the fact that we kicked three kickoffs out of bounds.
Oh, yeah. No, not quite that.
I don't know that I've ever seen that. You know, one, you're like, oh, it's a fluke, and then you did it again. And then at the third kickoff, everybody gave him a good old Bronx cheer, you know, like, hey, you didn't kick it out of bounds. And then he had a third one that went out of bounds. Man, that's, you can't give teams field position like that. Granted, you know, obviously Purdue wins the game, so you look back and, mm-hmm. and it didn't matter. But you really don't want to do that when we play against Northwestern or IU coming up. So it's right. Definitely it wasn't a perfect game. There's a lot to work on, but it's hard to argue with the results.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what to say about this game, really. It's still kind of like shock and awe about it, just how well they did and how misplaced this felt this entire game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think misplaced is a good word, because nowhere, I mean, short of the Illinois game, when have we ever seen this offense this season have the ability to put up points like that against a good right. opponent? I mean, I was talking to Jed at the basketball game, and then when I dropped off the press pass today, it's like, it's 5-7, which is possible for Purdue, is almost the worst record, because, you know, you're not technically bowl eligible unless there's some, you know, academic issue there, mm-hmm. and they get slotted in at 5-7, but 5-7, you're looking and you're like, man, we just needed one more win. So you're going back and looking at every game, seeing what could have been different. But 5-7 is definitely an improvement to where we thought we were going to be. So just a few weeks ago. So two games left, I'll take mm-hmm. it. You know, Ryan, anything yeah. else about this game?
Not necessarily about this game. I just think it's odd how the Big Ten West, there's Iowa overall, who is 8-2, Purdue at 3-7. Every other team is 5-5.
That is weird.
There's going to be a lot of bowl chasing going on
yeah.
here.
Yeah, and we might have taken Minnesota's bowl game away, because they've got to play Wisconsin and Ohio State. And, you know, I don't expect them to beat Ohio State, so it'll be them versus Wisconsin on the last week to see if they can maybe do a bowl game. Wisconsin is a bit of a question mark so far this year, but anything that hurts P.J. Fleck, I'm okay with.
Absolutely. And Wisconsin's got – they play Nebraska, so that's fighting for a bowl game. But then if Wisconsin loses to Nebraska, then they're fighting Minnesota for a bowl game, assuming
yeah.
Minnesota doesn't beat Ohio State.
Which would be a shocker. So Yeah, I mean, the last two weeks here, in the Big Ten, you're going to see a lot of games that matter to people, and that's a lot of fun. I mean, even though Purdue's out of bowl contention, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of critical games.
Yeah, so I think that'll do it for football. We're going to look ahead a little bit, but to the next basketball game. Ryan, are you going to be in attendance for Purdue versus Xavier tomorrow? Well, today, I guess, when this comes out?
Yeah, I believe I will be. I will pretty much leave straight from work and head to Mackey.
Yeah, so that's – I mean, they're going to really be Purdue's first real test of the season. I think they're somewhere in the 30s or 40s on KenPom. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would have to look that up to confirm, but I think I saw that earlier today. They got their Purdue's first test and their last game before we head to Hawaii. So anything in particular you're looking forward to in that one, or just excited to be back in Mackey for a big game?
A little bit of both. I do think it's a good test before you get into the big boys of Gonzaga, guaranteed, maybe, you know, Tennessee, and then maybe Kansas. So it's a nice, I don't want to say tune-up game, but it's a progression into the hard game. So
yeah, I think progression is a good word, because, you know, we've been playing teams that frankly just aren't very good. So you want to step up to the big leagues before you truly go against what is a monster of a schedule in Hawaii. So I'm really looking forward to that one. 8:30 tip off. So that will be great. Mm-hmm. Sun will be asleep by then. I can watch live. Don't have to do any DVR. So I'm really looking forward to it. But you know, it's the last test before Hawaii. Purdue, when the new rankings come out tomorrow, will likely be number two, given that Duke lost to Arizona. Mm-hmm. So probably going to be number two heading in to Hawaii, with number one Kansas there as well. So the folks who did the Maui field cannot be happier, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking it up, Xavier is 39 in Kansas.
There you go. There you go. I said 39. I said 30 or 40, so that's pretty good. So it's going to be a heck of a test. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm pretty jealous that you're going to be at that game, but I'm really happy that you're going to be there.
I'm sorry. You get to go to Hawaii and see
games? Well, yeah. That's fair. So there we go, folks. We'll come back to middle of the week to look at the game against Northwestern, as well as recap that game against Xavier. But we're really looking forward to that one. And hey, maybe Purdue football has turned a corner on offense. A lot of work to do on both sides of the ball, but I love winning football.
Yep, don't we all?
Yeah, all right. Boiler up.
Hammer down.